So far, Brother Will mentioned he allowed me to ride with him. Really, he went out of his way to come up to Jackson to pick me up to ride to Clarksville, Georgia, to the Faith Primitive Baptist Church to hear some good preaching, and we did. He mentioned the good preaching we heard from Daniel Bryan, and it was good. But we also heard a good sermon also. Before that, from Elder Will Martin. I'm sure all of you know him. He did a very good job and enjoyed his preaching over there too. Glad to be here and trust the Lord is in the arrangements and the Lord will be with us. I want to begin with something. I have a tendency to do this whenever I introduce the subject that I want to speak. I'll introduce something that's not out of the Bible, that's something that's out of the world, so to speak. But one of the things that I'll mention to you that I enjoy, other than going to church and worshiping the Lord, is whenever I'm out in the world looking for entertainment, I'm a big fan of bluegrass music. Now, I wouldn't recommend any bluegrass music in the church here because we don't allow any musical instruments. But what I like about bluegrass musical are the musical instruments they use. The mandolin, the banjo, the guitar, and the fiddle. Now that's good music, and that feeds the old raven part of me when I'm looking for entertainment. Now when I want to feed the dove nature, I'll go to a service like I was at over at Faith yesterday, and I had the dove nature fed over there. But the reason I mention bluegrass music is one of my favorite groups in the bluegrass music is called Doyle Lawson and Quicksilver. And they do a lot of different things. They don't only sing bluegrass songs, they also sing Christian songs. Now they call them bluegrass gospel, but I don't call them gospel because gospel is the preaching of God's word. That's what the gospel is. The gospel comes through preaching, doesn't come through singing. But they'll call it bluegrass gospel. But there is a song that they sing that I really love the song because it has, and even, you know, out in contemporary Christian music, you can find songs that have sound words to them, and we can accept and believe. But there's a particular song they do that will introduce the subject that I want to speak to you from the scriptures this morning. That subject is the indwelling Christ. But they do a song, and this song that they do, this bluegrass group, is called "He Lives in Me." It has a couple of verses, and I won't go into those verses, but I've listened to them, and they seem to me to be pretty sound words to the song. But I will just go over the chorus to the song. Now listen to the words to the chorus to this bluegrass song. It is, "He lives in me, He lives in me." He lives in me, He lives in me. He bought me for a price, now I am no longer my own. My life is His kingdom, my heart is His throne. He lives in me, He lives in me, the King of all heaven and earth is living in me. Now that's the chorus of that song. Has a couple of verses, and like I say, if you want to hear the verses, you can get out there on your computer, on YouTube, Doyle Lawson Quicksilver, "He Lives in Me," and you can hear the complete song if you like bluegrass music. But that introduces my subject this morning of the indwelling Christ. Actually, it is a fact that when God quickens and gives eternal life to a sinner that's dead in trespasses and in sin, Christ lives within that person, lives within his heart. Now you say, "Well, Brother Harry, I thought Christ was seated up in heaven at the right hand of the throne of God." Well, he's there too. He's there in that body of flesh that he lived here upon the earth, that he took from the Virgin Mary. He's there interceding in our behalf. But by the same token, he lives within us. And I want to take a look at some scriptures that tell us about the indwelling Christ, the Christ that lives within the hearts of his children. And the first scripture we want to take a look at will tell us this. Let me ask you the question. Do you know Christ? Do you know who he is? Do you know God? Well, if you do, the reason why you do is because Christ dwells within you. Because if he didn't dwell within you, you couldn't say you had that knowledge. Or you wouldn't say you had that knowledge, because it would be impossible. And the scriptures tell us, and we find this in the book of John, in John chapter 14. And we'll begin there, verse 15. And it says, "If ye love me, keep my commandments." Now, people will say this. They say, "Well, if you believe in salvation by grace and you have nothing to do with why God loves you, and God loves you in spite of your sin and gives you life because he chose you and elected you, Then why would you serve God? Well, that tells you right there. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. That's why we keep the commandments of God. We don't keep the commandments of God to earn and gain a way to heaven. We keep the commandments of God to show our love to the Savior, Jesus Christ, for what he has done for us. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. And then in verse 17, he says this, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. Now I want to stop right there. That says there's a Spirit of truth that the world cannot receive. Now an alien sinner, dead in trespasses and in sin, cannot receive the Spirit of truth. He would have no interest in it. If you told him about it, he might hear it with his natural ears, but inwardly he would think you were a fool for even thinking or believing such a thing. He would think it was foolishness, in other words. There's a scripture that tells us that. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, neither can he know them, for they are spiritually discerned. A man dead in trespasses and sin, you present him the Spirit of truth, he cannot receive it. He would not receive it. He would think it's foolishness. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. Why? Because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. In other words, that's why he won't receive it. He don't see him. He doesn't know him. He doesn't have Jesus dwelling within him. But then he goes on to say, but ye know him. Why is it that I can say to you here at Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church that you know the love, that you know the Savior? But you know him. Why? But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Because Jesus dwells within your heart, that's why you know the Savior. That's why you have a desire to come here this morning to worship and adore the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for what he has done for you. So because he dwelleth in you and he shall be in you, that's how and why you know him. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, the world seeth me no more, but ye see me because I live, ye shall live also. And then he says, at that day ye shall know that I am in the Father, and ye in me, and I in you. Yes, the indwelling Spirit of God. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself unto him. Yes, the reason why you know Jesus, the reason why you know God, is because he lives within you, because he indwells your heart. In other words, when he quickened you and gave you life, Jesus came in. He didn't knock on the door and wait for you to answer and open the door. He knocked the door down and came into your heart by his irresistible grace. And that's how it comes to us little children here in this world, God's little children. Now we want to turn over and look at a couple of other scriptures here this morning that talk about the indwelling Christ and we'll turn over to the book of Colossians, and we'll find a scripture in the book of Colossians that will tell us that it is a glorious mystery that Christ lives within us. You know, it's hard for me to understand. Why would Christ, who was perfect, why would Christ, who the Scripture described as holy, harmless, undefiled, and separate from sinners, why would He actually come into this sinful body of mine? Why would He come in and dwell within me to direct me, to lead me toward God, to lead me away from the flesh and the sin that's in the flesh, to lead me away and to give me a conscience toward God, to give me eternal life, to make me want to come here this morning to worship the Lord. These are the things why Christ indwells our heart. It's a glorious mystery, and we'll find it in the book of Colossians, chapter 1. We'll begin there at verse 23. If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for this body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hidden from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest into his saints. It's a mystery. Then he says in verse 27, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's a great mystery, that Christ, Jesus, our Lord and Savior, would actually indwell within the hearts of sinful men such as you and I. But it is, even though it's a mystery, it is a fact, and God is the one that causes it to happen, that Christ Jesus actually dwells within us. Christ in you, it says, the hope of glory. Do you have a hope of glory this morning? Do you have a hope that when this life is over, you'll die and go and pass on and go in to be in heaven? Do you have that hope? If you have that hope, it's because Christ dwells within you. He's the one within you that gives you that hope of heaven, that hope of eternal life, to be with God eternally. If you didn't have Him within you, you wouldn't have that hope. You wouldn't have any desire for that hope. But hope is a wonderful thing. And hope is described as an anchor of the soul. It's both sure and it's steadfast. In the book of Hebrews, where it gives a definition of faith, it said faith is the substance of things hoped for. So people will criticize you for hope. Now, I can remember a little story, and I'll tell you this little story about hope. I think it was conveyed to me by someone you saw just last weekend, Elder Ricky Hargrove. I believe it was Ricky Hargrove that told this story originally, but I'll tell it again this morning, because I'm sure probably somebody told it to him while he was telling it. But he told a story about this primitive Baptist preacher lived in the community, and there was a little store down from where he lived. And he went there one day, and the store owner of that store, waited on him there. And that store owner was not a primitive Baptist. He was of some other faith and order. And so they were having a revival down at his church. And so he invited this primitive Baptist preacher. He said, preacher, I want you to come down to our church. We're having a revival. And then he asked him the question. He said, let me ask you, preacher, are you saved? He asked him that question. So the old primitive Baptist, he thought for a minute. He said, well, I certainly have a hope that I am. And then the old guy said, well, I tell you what, preacher, I wouldn't lay my head down upon my pillow tonight and go to sleep until I was sure beyond any shadow of a doubt that I was going to heaven. And so the old preacher, he said, well, let me ask you a question. What is it that makes you so absolutely sure that when you die that you're going to heaven? He said, well, it's because I have accepted the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. And because of that acceptance of Him, I'll die. When I die, I will go to heaven. So then the old primitive Baptist preacher said, well, you know, that's a wonderful thing that you've told me. That's a wonderful thing to accept and believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Savior of sinners. But my question is not whether you have accepted the Lord. My question is, has the Lord accepted you? And then the old fellow scratched his head, and then he thought for a minute, what kind of answer can I give to this? So he said, well, I don't know, but I hope that he has. So we had him right back to where the old preacher started to begin with. We have a hope of going to heaven. It's a wonderful thing, and it's a great mystery here that the indwelling Christ is within you, the hope of glory that gives you a hope of going to heaven, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his workings, which worketh in the mighty. We have Jesus Christ within us, the indwelling Christ that gives us that hope of glory that we'll live with Him one day in heaven. Now we'll look at a couple of things that I think are very crucial and important for us to understand about Christ indwelling within us. Do you know if Christ did not dwell within you, it would be impossible for you to be obedient unto Him. Now, obedience is an important part of the life of a child of God. We're all here this morning on a Sunday morning to worship the Lord. And I hope it is our sincere effort and desire to be in the worship of the Lord each and every Sunday. I know some primitive Baptist churches, even the one I serve, they don't meet every Sunday. They just meet two Sundays a month. But I trust the members of the church I pastor up at Bethlehem Primitive Baptist Church this morning, even though we're not meeting up there this morning, Yellow Springs Primitive Baptist Church is in meeting this morning. It's also in Dunlap. So I trust the members of the church I pastor are this morning at the Yellow Springs Primitive Baptist Church in the worship of the Lord, because we're to worship the Lord on the first day of every week. And it should be the desire of every Primitive Baptist Church to meet every week. That's one thing I like about Macedonia Church. You never have to wonder about what Sundays y'all are going to be here. You're here each and every first day of every week to worship the Lord. But if we're going to be obedient unto God, it takes the indwelling Spirit of Christ within you in order for you to be obedient to Him. And we'll find that here in the book of 1 John, and we'll begin there at verse 18 of the third chapter. My little children, he says, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of the Son Jesus Christ and love one another as he gave us commandment. And then he says, and he that keepeth his commandments, in other words, he that is obedient unto the commandments of the Lord, he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. Now that's the indwelling Christ. Christ dwells within you is a condition that's necessary in order for you be obedient unto him. He that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him, and hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given unto us. So the indwelling Spirit of Christ is essential for our being able to be obedient unto him. And it ought to be the desire of every single child of God to be obedient unto Christ, not only in church attendance each and every, not only the first day of the week, but each and every service that you, the church to which you're a member has to serve and to worship the Lord God of heaven and of earth. And now, I want to turn, I mentioned to start with there about Christ knocking down the door, not knocking on the door, waiting on you to open it so he can come in and give you life. But there is a scripture that talks about Christ knocking on the heart's door of God's children. It's not talking. I'm saying again, this scripture is not referencing Christ knocking on the door of a person and dead in trespasses and in sin. If you go back, this is found in the book of Revelations. If you go back and read all the couple of chapters before this, you'll find this reference. And what this whole context of this scripture in the book of Revelation is, it's Jesus speaking to the seven churches that were in Asia. And the seven churches that he speaks to, he addresses each and every one of them, and he points out for each one of them the condition of that church. And so it's just common sense to say all that were of those churches were born again believers in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That they were, in fact, children of God that had the indwelling Christ living within them. And well, what's this scripture talking about then? What is Jesus talking about knocking on the door and you opening the door and him coming in and supping with you? He's talking about fellowship with the Lord. That's what he's talking about. Do you want to have fellowship with the Lord? Then follow the instructions here. This is not to an alien sinner, something he must do to receive life, but this is to a child of God that wants to have fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you go back and you'll see all of these instructions Jesus had for the seven churches in Asia. And then he closes all of that out beginning at verse 19 of chapter 3 of the book of Revelation. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous thereof and repent. Now after he pointed out all their problems, he told them, and rightly so. If you don't straighten up, you'll receive the chastening rod of God in your life, little child of God. So I don't want to be chastened by the Lord. I want to avoid chastening as much as I can. I can remember as a boy, anything I did wrong, I tried to hide it from my daddy, because I know if he found out about it, there was going to be some rod applied. There was going to be some chastening that was involved. So I tried my best to live in such a way to avoid that as much as possible. That's the way we should be as children of God. We ought to avoid things that would bring the chastening rod of God in our lives. As many as I love, I like the way that begins. You do it, but why did my dad chasten me when I was wrong? Because he loved me. That's why he did it. And I recognize that now more than ever, or in my later life more than I did when I was that age. But it's because parents love you that they discipline you and chasten you and steer you in the right direction. Same here as God. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous thereof and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Now here's Jesus. He's standing at your heart's door. He's knocking. But it's not an alien sinner that he's trying to get into. This is someone that already has Christ dwelling within them. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh, I will grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and are set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. In other words, Jesus is saying, if you want to have fellowship with me, open the door and I'll come in and fellowship with you, because you are a child of God who has the indwelling Spirit within you. Yes, the indwelling Spirit of God. We have saw this morning that the reason you know God and you know Jesus is because of the indwelling Spirit, because he indwells within you. That's how that you know him. We saw it's a great mystery that Jesus Christ, the hope of glory, lives within our hearts. We've saw in order for us to be obedient to him, it requires us to have the indwelling Spirit of God. And now we see, in order for us to have fellowship with him, it requires us to have this indwelling Spirit and open our hearts and to fellowship with the Lord, because he will come in and do many things for us in fellowship with him, seated there at the right hand of the throne of God, a Savior interceding in behalf of poor sinners such as we are. I thank you for your attention. Please pray now for Elder Martin, as he will now come to preach to you.
Joyful, joyful, we adore.